This is a download from the BBC. For details of our huge new range of audio for free download or podcast and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcast.
I'm in a city square right by Parliament in central London, and on all four sides, ancient stone buildings. There's a big lawn in the middle and lots of children, some playing football, another bunch over there in cricket whites. And that's because this is Westminster School, and it has been here without interruption since the early 14th century. 600 years worth of grumpy adolescence and of academic attainment, because it is one of the best schools in the world. And I've just met up with some of the children here, so tell me, most people find school really boring, do you?
No, not at all. Since I've come here, I've found it incredibly inspirational. I've found all the opportunities that were opened up. I could never have had that if I hadn't come here. It's just been fantastic.
Why do you think education matters?
Helps people find out what they want to do with the rest of their lives and gives them opportunities to choose a life rather than being forced into doing something that they have to do.
Well, thank you very much. And as those children have worked out, education matters. If politicians want to defeat the great scourges of poverty, disease, even religious extremism, then education does offer a solution. And over the next 2 weeks on the BBC, we'll be looking at the best education the world has to offer. I'll come back here next week, but first, a rather different idea. Not a single school, but a whole system that, according to tests conducted by the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, consistently produces the best educated children in the world. I'm talking about Finland. One thing that everyone seems to know about Scandinavian education is that the children don't start school until they're seven, which is true, sort of. Formal school starts at seven, but baby Finns start nursery at just 9 months. Their mothers tend to go back to work, and the children learn through play. I'm in a nursery now, and there are lots of teachers. Children look happy. And I'm with Leila Tuominiemi. She's a government official with responsibility for early learning. So, Leila, tell me this. When the children leave here at the age of seven from this nursery, what do you want them to be like?
Independent, trust to themselves, yeah, and so that they worship themselves. I think that's the most important.
Worship themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where everything starts, yeah. You have to think that I'm good enough.
Self-worth, a sense of self-worth.
Yes, indeed.
Now, one of the confusing things for people abroad is that you have these fantastic results from your schools, and yet you don't start school. The children don't start until they're seven. It does seem rather late.
Yes, it is so. But we think the most important way to learn for small children is play. And they work as well as pen and paper.
I mean, I take your point that, you are sort of educating them, even if they're not at school when they're younger. But elsewhere in the world, formal education is beginning younger and younger and younger. And you even get mothers who play Mozart to their babies in the womb because they want to get them started.
Yeah, but with our results you see that we are right. Yeah.
You're right and everyone else is wrong. Well, here I can see a group of six-year-olds singing Frere Jacques in five languages. They do take languages very seriously here in Finland. And the net result of these nurseries is that parents like Toija Talvitie, mother of two boys, are happy with the start their children are getting.
Sitting them down for a full school day before they're seven can be a problem. And at nursery, they learn through play. So, you know, that all that energy is channeled through other methods. So I think that's absolutely fine.
But they start at seven and then they have to sort of learn immediately how to read. And they do, apparently.
And they do. You know, about 90% of them learn by Christmas. They start in mid-August and they're reading by Christmas.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Well, it is amazing. And yet again, it's not. Because, I mean, yes, I mean, everybody says that Finnish is a phonetic language, so it's easier to learn to read than English, for example. But at the same time, you know, they're really, really keen to learn. You know, they've been waiting for so long to to start school.
One aspect of the system here that I think is very surprising to outsiders is most of the schools, I think really all the schools, are basically the same standard. Mm. Now, that's odd.
Well, it's odd, but this is one of those big Finnish principles that people adhere to, and we really believe in it, and that's equity, equality, equal treatment for everybody. Nobody's left behind. It's very much part of the system, and it seems to have universal agreement.
Well, that kind of enthusiasm brings a smile to the face of the man who's with me now. I'm in a restaurant in central Helsinki, tucking into some reindeer pasta with Jaakko Itälä. And 50 years ago, as a student, he had a dream to reform Finland's schools. And he was a lucky man, because in the 70s he became Finland's education minister, and he could do it. And he's now a widely respected figure, the father of Finland's world-beating education system. So, Jaakko Itälä, tell me this. What was your idea?
I was thinking at that time that we are so small nation that all our children must have the same good school.
Right, so your idea was it's wrong to say there are clever children and non-academic children.
Yes, it was very wrong. Wrong for children and wrong for a national economy.
What was your idea? What is education for?
Education is for that every Finn, every Finnish citizen must be a civilized person. No more divided. All must be educated. Everybody must have his and her part of the civilization. Music, art, communal life.
Jaakko Itälä, thanks very much for seeing us. And it's perhaps worth saying at this point, you might think that Finland is getting success by spending money on education, but that's not right. The OECD figures show Finland does spend a bit more than the average, but not much, and it's well below the levels of the US and another high performer, South Korea. It doesn't seem to be about how much money, it's what you do with it. Well, I'm off now to see reforms in action. Going to a school in central Helsinki, the Resu Comprehensive, and meeting a 16-year-old boy there, Ossi Sirianen. Well, I've met up with Ozzy now. He's just at the beginning of one of his Finnish classes. And I should say that the school here is fairly typical for Finland, about 400 children. They all live nearby, rich and poor alike. They all walk to school, 7 to 16 years old. And Ozzy, what do you make of the schooling here? Because you actually were educated also in California, I think, so you've got a chance to compare.
Yeah, I think it's a bit better because I can speak Finnish, I can speak my own language. And of course, I love the teachers because they're really good and they're like friends. And, well, that was also in America, but I think they make it more clear what they're saying, and we treat them like they're humans and not like gods. And that's the part I like about this school.
Are you surprised that Finland is the world's best education system?
Yeah, yes I am. It's not that different, at least I don't think so.
All right, Ozzy, well, thank you very much. We're just going to have a chat with your teacher, who's Anu Kukkonen.
Yeah.
Because this is a Finnish lesson, right?
Yeah.
What are you telling them, Anu?
Oh, about the last grading. They are ending their school now, and they will get the grades from the whole comprehensive school.
They don't look very nervous.
No, I think everyone has a hint what is the final grade.
They know what's coming anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Anu, I've just been speaking with Ozzy there.
Yeah?
Who says that compared to America, teachers here are more like friends rather than gods. So that's quite good.
Yeah, as long as you are not too much friends with the students, you still need to have some authority. But you don't need to be like God, I think.
Now, we're here to find out why the system works. And one of the things we've kept hearing is that teachers like you are allowed to make their own decisions. You know, you can set the way you teach.
Yeah, I can. Of course, we have some curriculum, but you can decide which things are important to you. And so, I feel quite free.
You feel quite free.
And that makes your teaching more creative, I think.
And another thing I've heard is that teaching is the most popular job choice of graduates in Finland.
There is a lot of applicants. There are more coming than they can take.
How many people for each job when you were applying?
For my job here, I think maybe like 30 people were trying to get.
30?
Yeah.
So you're really good.
Thank you, I hope so. I'm really happy I got the permanent job.
Really, 30 to 1. That shows you how many people are wanting to be teachers.
Yeah. It's popular. Even the salary could be better, but still.
Thank you very much. And we'll leave you to your finished class.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Eli, nyt saat niin.
Finnish teachers do tend to grumble about their pay. In fact, they get about the same as teachers in the United States, and they also get great respect from the rest of society. Well, Anu is teaching in a good part of town. What about deprived areas? Well, that is where Finland really scores. Official figures show only a 4% variation in school performance. It's remarkably consistent. Well, I'm now in eastern Helsinki, probably the most deprived part of the city, at the Silitie Comprehensive, and I'm meeting the head here, Arita Haikkonen, who I can see has just come out of the door to greet us. Hello, it's Owen Bennett-Jones from the BBC. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
And you run this school of about 200 children, and it's one of the parts of Helsinki, they say, is relatively deprived. So tell us about the area. What's it like around here?
About 15% are immigrants, and about 12% of parents are unemployed.
And so those are both high numbers for Finland?
Yes, quite high.
And just as we walk into the school, tell me, what kind of methods are you using to address the problems that the families here have?
Well, we try to catch the problems as soon as possible. We contact parents and start cooperating with social workers, playground workers, and so on.
Because I think one of the things that most people will find very surprising about the Finnish system is you have no failing schools. And everywhere else in the world, when there's a deprived part of town, the schools fail, but not in your case.
I think it's partly because we know all the parents, we know all the children here. It's the size, and then we have quite informal relationships. We had 2 7-year-old boys who ran away every day, and they fighted, and they stole money. We were quite helpless, and so were their parents. So we started this project and tried to get them back to school and back to normal life. And I think we succeeded. It took about 2 months, 3 months. Now they go to school every day and feel quite well.
After just 2 months? That's fantastic.
Yeah. But it was so forceful because we advised parents at the same time. And
so what exactly do you tell them? What kind of message do you deliver?
We tell them how to get their children in bed on time, what is proper food, what does the proper food mean, and how to make timetables and give orders to their children. But we try to do it in a gentle way, strict but gentle, I think.
Strict but gentle, firm but fair.
Yeah.
That's what the teachers, they always say they're firm but fair.
Yeah.
What surprises me about this story is that the parents didn't say, mind your own business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mind your own business.
That's true.
But they didn't.
They didn't. I think they've learned to trust people in kindergarten already and the social workers in this Finnish system.
They trust you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm away from Helsinki now, driving north on a road flanked with pine forests and heading to a teacher training college at Jyväskylä University. And it's worth saying that Finland is pretty unglobalised still. It is different. It's more equal, less flashy, less consumerist than the rest of Europe, quite old-fashioned, and much colder. It's like this. If a parent takes out a toddler without gloves on, strangers will stop them and say, "What are you doing? You should dress your child properly." And the schools reflect those social values, which means it is difficult for other countries to copy them. One thing about the Finnish system, though, that can be exported is that all teachers, primary and secondary, must be educated to master's degree level. That's 5 years at university. Well, I've reached the teacher training college now. I'm in a class and the children are chatting as they work, all very relaxed, really very different to other high performers in the OECD surveys, places like South Korea, where it's much more rote learning. And I'm with five trainee teachers, Yamo, Mari, Anuka, Elina, and Sana. And looking at how well-behaved all these Finnish children are, let me put it to you, you've got a very easy job here.
Well, yeah, perhaps. we don't have so many immigrant children, perhaps. Well, it depends on a group, I think.
What do you think, Yamo?
It's not always that easy. I have been working in schools where you have a lot of problems.
What sort of discipline problems?
Also, yeah. For example, in Helsinki, there are some really difficult classes.
But I think this is all relative, isn't it? I mean, when you say there are difficult classes, do you have children bringing alcohol, drugs, guns and knives into classes?
Nope. No, not in Finland. But we do have discipline problems, of course, that they're not angels.
Yeah, and as you said, that they are probably there are more problems from the society. It's not the kids, really, but it's in the world they live in, and we live in a quite safe environment and a safe society here in Finland. So
let me put it like this. How many hours of teaching have you actually done? You're all sort of early 20s and you're in the middle of your degrees or coming to the end of your degrees. You've done how many hours roughly?
1 year together before I started.
A whole year of teaching in front of children?
Yeah, nearly.
And is that the same for all of you?
Not that much, maybe.
But some months?
Yeah.
Now then, what's the strictest thing you've ever done? What's the toughest thing you've ever done with a child?
Once I told one kid to go out of the classroom.
You told him to go out of the classroom?
Yes. And once I lifted one boy off the table since he didn't listen what I was saying.
You lifted him up?
Yes. Away from the table.
One time I had to use this holding things, put arms around him and just calm down. And
you hugged him?
Well, how do you want to put that?
Yeah. I mean, that is incredible to me, that you can create order in a class and once you've had to tell a child to go out of a class. That's the, I mean, between you, that's about the toughest thing you've done, is to say, what, stand outside the door for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, well, that gives us some idea of how you deal with your moderately naughty children. What about this business of the comprehensive nature of the education here, because you have mixed ability classes, and I just went to a class, and I must say, I thought the girl who was clearly the brightest in the class looked pretty bored, because the class pace was slower than she was. Is that a problem?
It is a problem that we don't consider them to need as much special education as the ones who are not that bright.
I don't see it possible to have some classes or schools for that best 1%, because you cannot find it out in a primary school who are the best ones, because pupils, they develop in a different times.
Sure, no, but other countries have, I think, a different attitude slightly, which is that they want the best ones to do really well, because they're the ones who are going to do the innovation, they're the ones who are going to run the economy, they're the ones who are going to help the nation. And it doesn't seem you have that idea here so much.
Yeah, I think equality is really one of our main values in the school system.
And in my opinion, it's not about like getting the best ones to develop the country, but the kids themselves, for them to have a good life and have a happy life and find their own way. So it's about the individuals, not about our country.
Well, good luck with your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I've come now to see where some of these Finnish school children end up. It's Finland's biggest company by far, Nokia, the mobile phone company. I'm in the headquarters. It's a huge modern building. And I'm with Olli Holstron, who's the Human Resources Director of the Research Centre here. Now, it's an interesting department. They have around 800 employees exploring the future. Where might the world be in 5 or 7 years' time? Quite deep thinking, trying to work out how to place Nokia in the future. And I'm just wondering, Olli, how you find the products of the Finnish education system when it comes to this, you know, slightly out-of-the-box creative thinking that you need to do here.
The Finnish educational system is very well supporting our needs. I wouldn't say that it's creative enough, though.
Which country has an education system that produces the most creative minds?
This is my personal answer, and I would say that probably I would go to US and probably even to Silicon Valley in our industrial area.
And why is that? What are they doing?
If I had cracked that, I would probably
be running a university.
That's true. I think it's the way how people are brought up to express themselves. Finns are known as a very honest nation, but we are also very shy. In the education, if people are brought up to be open-minded, to be interested for out-of-the-box solutions, I mean, that's the start.
Now then, I want to think back to one of the creative stars of Finland, the famous composer Sibelius. And can you get Sibelius on a Nokia phone?
Absolutely you can, of course you can. I think Finlandia, which is probably one of the most pieces of Sibelius, is on very many Finns' phone as one of the ringing tones.
It is?
Yes, it is.
All right, and can we hear a bit?
Finlandia starts with the very serious.
It's quite serious.
Yes, it is, but it tells about serious times. It's the beginning of 20th century when Finland was strongly under pressure of Russia.
I see, and so it just shows you that there is great creativity in Finland.
Absolutely. When times are demanding, then the creativity absolutely grows.
Finland has shown what politicians can do when they really believe education matters. It's not to say the system here is perfect. The teachers, for example, concede they may not be doing enough for the very brightest students. Everyone gets to a good standard. Very few reach the heights. And that's why next week on the BBC, I'll be visiting two of the world's greatest academic institutions, places that select their intake and then try to provide them with the best academic education the world can offer.